They don't do nachos south of the border. Well, how about fajitas? Fajitas are practically as American as apple pie, which, by the way, came over from Europe anyway, but that's another subject entirely. Chili con carne, that's a Texas thing. The settlers came up with putting meat in the chili. Do you know what burrito means? Burrito means small donkey. They don't eat small donkeys in, no. Queso, no queso. Cheddar cheese is almost non-existent south of the border. How about chimichangas? No. You know what the name means? It means seared insult. It's a combination of the word grilled and a small insult. So, yeah. Okay, so all this time we've been going to a Mexican restaurant thinking we like Mexican food. We have no idea because we never eat any Mexican food. It's all American made-up cuisine. I didn't have the heart to look up Chinese food because I like that too. I always thought I had an international palate of some kind, but apparently I do not. It's all a farce. It's all a front. It's all to make money. Yeah. Well, that's food, but what if our religion was fake? What if we had been duped? There's a lot of religions around the world, you know. Millions of people are Muslims. You've got many different brands of Christianity, very far apart in some beliefs. How do we know that what we believe is the real deal? You know, most people of any religion depend on their pastors, imams, or whatever you call them, priests. I remember a friend of mine witnessing to a lady in a laundromat one day, and he kept saying, well, the Bible says. She says, I don't care what the Bible says. My priest told me to do this, and that's what good enough for me. Oh, that's a lot of power to put into somebody else. What if they were lying to you? Either consciously or unconsciously, what if what we thought was good was actually making God angry? What if we were fueling his anger while we thought we were appeasing? That happens. When in the Old Testament they were throwing their babies into the fire, that wasn't pleasing God. That was making him angry. And I'm sorry to say, it kind of looks like liars have won the day. So many people have changed right to wrong and wrong to right. There's such confusion, and it seems like the tide has turned. Back in the day, if you wanted to do those things, at least you knew they were wrong. But now they are what is being purported as right, as truthful. It's so popular, sin is so popular today, that when a person comes along speaking the truth, they're the one that's in trouble. Here we are, Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 30. A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. This is God talking through Jeremiah. A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies, the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? Father, help us. Help us to face the truth of this text today. Oh, we can get along just fine with people. We can get caught up in all the sinful activities of the day. We can have a wonderful time. But then what will we do when we come face to face with God? The rules have not changed, at least not from heaven, even though we're messing with them here on earth. Help us to adjust to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's begin with God's assessment of calling wrong right and right wrong. He said it is both horrible and shocking. God is appalled at what happens in a society when things get turned upside down. When the natural becomes unnatural And that which is repulsive becomes accepted. What makes sin so horrible? Well, sin on its very own degrades, abuses, and kills people. One of the nice things about getting as old as I am is you've been able to see in your lifetime several people's scenarios, their stories play out to the end. When you were younger and you watched them prospering and you watched them doing really well, even though they were a jerk of a person and even though they were unfaithful and did all these notorious things, all you really had to do was wait around long enough to see it come back around and come due. If you live against God's will and against God's law, sooner or later, you're going to pay a price for that. If you have lived according to God's plan and God's will in your life, even though bad things happen, even though trouble comes, you'll still be standing at the end. So sometimes it looks like, why am I bothering? Why am I even concerned about this? Nobody else cares. And everybody else thinks this is foolish. They make fun of the young virgin anymore. So why try? Why go that route? Just wait. Just wait. It all comes due and it all makes sense. And as I often say, sin is in itself its own worst punishment. It never comes through as advertised. It looks like, but it does not end up like that. When a society begins to teach immorality as morality, when a society begins to honor sin and dishonor righteousness, it's very much like a parent willingly and knowingly feeding poison to their child, making them sick, making them weak, and it is tearing them apart. Immorality left unchecked destroys families. And as a result to that, it weakens individuals. Children don't have the stability of a two-parent home. And when our partner's coming and leaving all the time, it gets even worse. Drinking, drugs, anything that you can think of that we consider to be sinful is self-destructive, and it tears apart. San Francisco police tell us that according to their statistics, about 90% of those that are homeless in their city are drug addicts. So they don't care that they don't live anywhere. They only care about getting their next fix. So if they have to rob, if they have to steal, if they have to kill in order to get that, that's what they do. Now, the city of San Francisco spends approximately $60,000 per homeless person just trying to take care of them when they refuse to take care of themselves, while they live as they please and do the most notorious things that not only destroys them, but destroys the society. But now we know, because we're enlightened, that they're not responsible for their activities. They're victims, they're not perpetrators. So it's no longer illegal to do all these things. And so it just becomes more and more and more and more of a mess. In Portland, Oregon, they've removed the fee for riding the bus. So you don't have to pay to get on the bus. So now the homeless have taken over the public bus system. Now people who are trying to get to work are afraid to ride the bus for fear that they're going to get rolled for the money to buy the drugs, and on it goes. We're becoming more civilized, right? We're becoming more enlightened. Just take the penalty away from bad behavior and pour more money into that and support it, and everything is just going to be fine. When will we learn the lessons of history? It could not be more clear. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The greatest civilizations of all time have imploded. They have died from within because of sinful behavior. It happened in Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Greece, the Roman Empire, the British Empire, and the former Soviet Union. We die from within. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Follow the biblical pattern and prosper. Ignore them and implode. Now, you wouldn't give your child a loaded gun to play with. And as a pet, you wouldn't go out and find yourself a 12-foot alligator, would you? But did you see that in the news? Apparently, there's somebody in York that has an alligator for a pet, and they take it for walks in the park, and the alligator loves to cuddle with them and give kisses and all this kind of stuff. That's not a kiss. They're tasting you. They're looking for the right flavor. And you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't send your kid to school in the bitter cold in just shorts and a t-shirt. You wouldn't say, "Oh, you got muddy at soccer practice. You got to ride on the roof. Hold on, here we go." People would say, "That is shocking. That's terrible behavior. We're going to take your children off of you. That's child abuse." But catch this. We dress them up nice and warm. We make sure they're securely in their seat with the right belts and everything else. We get them safely to school. And then we pour rot into their heads. We tell them there is no God, that they should just experiment in life and find out for themselves the difference between right and wrong. And that's the temperature of the day. Well, guess what? Telling a child there is no God or that God is pleased with them no matter what they do, that's actually horrible and shocking. Why did you spend all that time getting them dressed in warm clothes and making sure they have the right nutritious meal for lunch and getting them there safely just to mess their minds up, just to put them on the wrong path to life? Just let them go. They'll be all right. Let them find out for themselves. Is that what you did with the stove? You let them find out for themselves that it was hot? No, don't touch that. That's hot. What about traffic? Did you just let them go and find out that there's cars on the street? Our little fella, Josh, he was always breaking free and running. And I remember one day we were walking down a street. We were visiting some shops in a quaint little town. And once again, he wrenched his hand free from my wife, and he started out between two cars, was headed right for the highway, and car, zoom. And Barb grabbed him just in time and pulled him back. That wasn't the only time either. We saved that kid's life I don't know how many times. He was bent on getting killed somewhere or somehow. He's just going to find out for himself. Well, you can't do that physically, and you can't do that mentally either. We have to be responsible for what our children learn. And the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of the Lord. This is where we begin. Now, there will always be rebels, naysayers, dark souls looking to corrupt the innocent. But look who was doing the damage in Jeremiah's day. The prophets prophesy lies, and the priests rule by their own authority. The authorities were sick. The authorities were the purveyors of everything that was garbage. Again, I hail back to the day. How many remember when gambling was illegal? Do you know why gambling's illegal? Probably going to have to think about that one for a long time. No, it's not that hard, is it? No. But now who runs most of the gambling? Yeah, the state, the authorities. Yeah. And things just get turned around like that. And when you go to church, shouldn't you hear that wrong is wrong and right is right? But more and more when we go to church, the church has its ear to the crowd and saying, "Oh, this is what they want to hear. We'll okay this and we'll approve that." What's the job of a prophet? A prophet speaks on behalf of God. That's the job description. And if you had a good prophet, it was as good as God standing there speaking to you when they said something. King Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament, they said, "There's a great army, vast army coming against you. They didn't have the wherewithal to defend themselves. They got on their knees. They cried out to God, God, help us. A prophet stood up and said, oh, king, don't worry. God says you won't even have to fight this fight. All you'll have to do is show up and collect the plunder. The king believed the prophet. So you know what he did? He put the praise team in front of the army. He marched out with the praise team in front. They had trumpets and drums and, you know, lithers and whatever else kind of instruments they had. The guys with the weapons were in the back. Now, if the prophet had been wrong, that probably wouldn't have worked out very well, huh? Yeah. No, but the prophet was right. All they had to do was collect plunder. And it was all good. When the prophet said to Naaman, you want rid of your leprosy? Go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be clean. He kind of objected at first, but he finally grumbled and he did it. 7th time he came up, his skin was as pure and as clean as a newborn baby. When Jonah went to the city of Nineveh, he said, God is going to destroy this city in 3 days because of the wickedness and sin in this city. They believed the prophet. They dressed themselves in sackcloth, they fasted, they cried out to God, they repented of their sins, and the city was saved. When you had a good prophet, it was as if God himself were standing there voicing his concerns and his rulings. So you take that as the backdrop. The office is still there, the office of prophet, but now it's been taken up by notorious fools who are telling lies. They want the authority that comes with speaking on behalf of God, but they're not saying what God would say. There are a few left like Jeremiah who are standing up and telling the people you need to do what's right, but there were a whole bunch of them standing up saying, hey, it's okay if you're a jerk, you know, it's okay if you cheat, it's okay. You know, when you cheat somebody out of something else, God is blessing you and God is punishing them. It's all good, it's all right. And everything is getting twisted. They couldn't even think straight anymore. They were supposed to speak on behalf of God, kind of like preachers today, but instead they were preaching sin. We're just going to accept everything and everything's okay, and we're not going to judge anybody. We're just going to love, love, love. Prophets of God spoke, and those who heeded their warnings saved themselves. Those who ignored them suffered the consequences. That's the way it's supposed to be. Be careful the prophets that you listen to. There's got to be something we can judge them by, that we can say, yes, that's right, or no, that's not right. What do we have to judge the voices in our life by? The Word of God. Amen. Solid, sure, and strong. The priests rule by their own authority. Now, to understand this line, we need to know what the job of the priest was. Not only did they offer up sacrifices on behalf of people, they also heard the court cases. They were the judges of Israel. And what was happening in Jeremiah's day was they weren't following the law any longer. They were making things up as they went along. What they felt like, that's what they did. And so if they didn't agree with the law of God, they dismissed things on their own merit. And however they were feeling that day, that's what they did. And usually the verdict went to the person with the biggest bribe. And so the whole system was becoming corrupted. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority. But catch this. This is why it worked. And my people love it that way. My people love it that way. Do you know why there's so much trash on television now? The people love it. People love it. Do you know why sin abounds like it does? People love it. Do you know why immorality is just so prominent? Do you know why churches are going to the dark side? Because the people love it. Beer and hymns. Have you ever heard anything so holy in your life? Let's give the people what they want. That will be our religion from here on out. We'll bend God to fit what everybody wants. My people love it this way. Religion itself is twisted to align with sin and against righteousness. I would be kicked out of certain denominations today for preaching a message like this, because we are now pro-person, regardless of their behavior, and we will support it all. Dismiss their guilt, ease their fears, encourage them to eat, drink, and be merry. For as long as you're happy, God's happy. You remember that key verse in the Bible that says, as long as you're happy, God's happy? Remember that verse? It's found, maybe it's not in the Bible, but we know that that's what it all means, right? God just wants you to be happy. That's the key to life. And if you're having a good time, he understands, and it's all good. No. That's just not what the Bible says. Love was taken out of the context of telling one another the truth and placed in an arena where everyone reassured each other that their sin was fine with God. They were secure, no worries. That old big God in the sky, the Pillsbury Doughboy, just poke him in the belly, and it's all good. You just go to service every once in a while. He'll see that you're in attendance and say, oh, they love me. Yeah, they do. And maybe even give a sacrifice every once in a while. And he'll just be so tickled with you. You're a child of God. You've got nothing to worry about. You just live as you please 6 days out of the week and give him a little nod on the seventh, and everything is going to be fine. Sad thing was, Israel didn't even realize how deep a trouble she was in. She was almost ready to be destroyed. The Babylonians were on their way, and yet they would not listen to Jeremiah. They would not turn from their sin. Everything was fine. Everything was fine. So the stock market keeps tanking and tanking and tanking and tanking. No worries. Done that before. No problem. You just hang in there. Okay? The Chinese have satellites now. They're up there in space and they're... No worries. The Chinese are very nice people and they love us. Iran is close to a nuclear weapon, but not yet. They built the missiles already, and they're ready to build, but not yet. And we know they're very reasonable people. No worries. The power grid. California, they're asking people to set their thermostat at 78 degrees because there's not enough electricity. And it will be illegal to buy anything but an electric vehicle by 2035. That makes sense, right? Please, if it makes sense to you, talk to me after the service, because I'm having trouble with that particular one as well as all the other. There's no, eat, drink, and be merry, be happy, because the government is taking care of us more and more as time goes on. You won't have to pay for meds pretty soon. You won't even have to go to work. They'll just guarantee you an income. It's all going to be good. And where's this money coming from? I haven't figured that one out yet either, but it's all good. There are no warning signs on the horizon whatsoever. It's just going to get brighter and brighter as time goes on. And as the storm clouds gathered, they just partied all the more. They grabbed for what they could get. They lived to please themselves, and they cared less and less about anybody else, the future, their children, their grandchildren. Grab what you can get while you can get it, because maybe it will be gone soon. And they partied until the judgment day came. The Babylonian soldiers broke through the walls of the city of Jerusalem. They murdered just about everybody, but there were a few survivors that they carried off in chains. Most of those they later executed, but there were a few that went off into exile. They broke down the walls of Jerusalem. They burned the city down to the ground. If you want to read a sad story, read the book of Lamentations. That's Jeremiah the prophet, having survived all of this, walking through the streets of Jerusalem, what used to be the streets of Jerusalem, where buildings used to stand, there's only charred rubble, where there were streets There are bodies lying everywhere, not enough people to bury them. Things that had been precious, jewels and gold, just thrown into the street, useless trinkets anymore. And he personifies the city of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem weeps. What happened here? There used to be beautiful parks where the children played. In the center of the city, the old people used to come together and chat and play little board games, and it was just such a quaint little place. There used to be weddings and festivals and all of this, and now, as far as he could see, nothing but charred remains. All gone. Can you imagine what Jeremiah must have felt like? For 50 years, he had preached to these people that this was going to happen if they didn't turn from their sin. For 50 years, they persecuted him. They told him to shut up. They laughed at him. They mocked him. Funny thing was, whenever the storm clouds did gather, they would pull him up out of the cistern and they said, "Hey, is there a word from the Lord?" He'd say, "Yeah, turn or burn." And they'd say, "Oh, shut up," and put him back down in the cistern. Just wouldn't listen. Just so stubborn. You remember back when you were in high school and you had a substitute teacher? And you were supposed to have a test. And the teacher, substitute teacher, brought the test along with him. And everybody in the class lied as one unit. And, "Oh, no, we're not supposed to have a test. In fact, this isn't even history class. This is science class. Didn't you know that?" And they get the poor girl all confused and turned around. And, you know, so she puts the test away. And everybody, "Didn't have to take a test today. You would have great, you know." But sooner or later, Monday morning comes and the real teacher comes back. And now she's torqued, because the test wasn't taken on time and everything else is backed up and so on and so forth. And that poor substitute teacher now has to have therapy and trying to be in recovery and everything else. The Lord asks a great question here. What will you do in the end? Okay, you got prophets that will preach lies. You've got judges that will rule by their own authority. You don't even have to fear the law anymore. But what will you do when you stand face to face with God? And see, this is a good word for us, because we're all being tempted to compromise. We're all being tempted to let our guard down. All those rules that we've lived by, all those things that help to keep us straight, well, nobody else is obeying them anymore. I don't know, is marijuana legal yet in Pennsylvania or not? I know we're on the verge of it. They're always talking about it. Nothing that was wrong yesterday is wrong today, it seems. But what will you do in the end? You see, there won't be a whole bunch of people that come and pull the wool over God's eyes like he's a substitute teacher. "Well, no, that's not right, you know, and everybody else was doing it. You can need to grade on a curve, you know, and you can't flunk us all." Oh, yes, he can. Yeah, he really can. He's got the authority to do that. But see, here's the catch in this thing. You and I can agree to live right. We can try to live right in a very wicked generation. But we can't do it on our own. In fact, even when people decide they're going to live according to a code, well, first of all, they violate the code themselves anyway without, sometimes they know it, sometimes they don't. We become hypocrites, we become judgmental of other people, and it just becomes a mess. We need help. We need Jesus Christ. He can help us to desire the things that are good and right, and despise the things that are wrong. Because as long as our faces are pressed up against the windows and we're longing to be just like the world, we're going to be messed up. But when the Holy Spirit inhabits us and we're grieved over the sin and we're pleased with what is right and holy and good, that's the path we want to be on. There are a lot of people who are wearing their faith like a crown of thorns. "I got to wear this to get to heaven.
I really don't like it. It's what you gotta do. Oh, life stinks. Oh, this is hard. I can't wait to die so I can get to heaven and enjoy myself.
No. I just read this morning, as a matter of fact, in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, my peace and my joy I leave with you. My peace and my joy. Does that sound like, No. You'll be tempted by this or that along the way. But stay close to the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. First of all, he'll give you good desires in your heart. And then he'll fulfill them in your life. And your appetites will be good. And he will fulfill them with good things. Would you stand with me this morning? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Fascinating that we had some mixed fruit snacks made with real fruit, and we had some lollipops up here. Guess what's left? And it's like that spiritually too. Well, we for some reason we crave those things that kill us, but God will help you get your desires in line. I have friends who cried out to God for a long time, deliver me from this, God, deliver me from this. And they have found deliverance and freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you want it, you can have it, but you're going to have to really want it. But God will do it. You can't do it on your own. Do try, but you'll find out you need help. You know, every once in a while, I have to call a professional at my house. I'm kind of a do-it-yourself kind of guy. I like to do it myself. Let me tell you about a couple of times I did it myself. I flooded the family room trying to drain the hot water tank. One morning I was in here, back when we wore suits and ties every day to the office, and tried to change a water filter, and I walked into Barb's office soaked from head to toe. Sometimes you need to call in a professional. We need a professional. His name is Jesus Christ. He can deliver. He can save. Father, we look to you this morning. We ask you for your help. We get caught up in stuff. Sometimes it's immoral stuff and garbage, and deliver us. And sometimes we get snooty. We think we're better than everybody else because we got delivered from this or that. And then we got a problem with judgment. And so, oh, Lord, we're a mess. We need a professional. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Examine our hearts. Give us good appetites. Lord, help us to be repulsed at those very things that used to attract us. And help us to crave those things we used to reject. And we'll thank you for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless.